This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast. A quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
The Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on top of it. You got all the stories. So I read your notebook yesterday when it came out and really enjoyed it. And it's kind of a fun time of year because now we'll have the rookie mini camp. We'll get to see what these guys look like, how fast they are, how overrated they are as football players. Apparently, the Bears have the worst draft pick, or one of the worst draft picks, according to a guy from ESPN. With the linebacker they took, it's just going to be fun to see everybody get in and learn the lay of the land and get just a chance to watch some of these guys run.
Yeah, I mean, you see them out there in helmets and pads, or not pads, but helmets. You see them moving around a little bit. I'm sure they will arrive at some point today for a little bit of an orientation. And then you get going and they get an idea for how things are going to operate in a full team setting, right? They sort of get introduced to how they get ready for practice, what they're going to be asked to do in practice and individual drills and things of that nature. So when they're with the larger group, they can get up to speed rather quickly.
Brad, I was a little surprised that you are as high on Kyle Manungai as you seem to be. I also wonder if
I think he's got a chance.
Okay, you say he's got a chance, and I think that that's fair. And I think it's exciting because he does look great on tape. I also know they have Roschon Johnson back, and I wonder how their faith in both of those guys may affect their thinking on whether or not they need to add a veteran to the running back room, because I feel like this roster is a little incomplete without adding a veteran to the running back room. Do you agree or disagree?
I think they're going to need to add a running back at some point, quite possibly before training camp. But I don't think there's any need at all to sort of rush into it, because you've got a situation where there's a handful of options down at the running back store right now that you could choose through. And you know what? There's going to be more product on the shelves as we go. There were 25 running backs drafted this year. And that means that some of those guys are going to take jobs from players currently in the league, veterans. That means that you're going to have more running backs become available. That means that even in late August, when teams are working their way down to the 53-man roster, you're probably going to have some running backs with experience come loose. So I don't see any need to rush into it. I think the first order of business for Ben Johnson, for Declan Doyle, for everyone involved with the running back room, Eric Bieniemy for Ryan Poles, is get a handle on the players that you currently have in the building. Get a feel for Roschon Johnson. Like, he's a new player for these coaches. Get a feel for Kyle Manungai, and have an understanding of exactly what you have before you consider what outside option might be good in the mix, might be good for competition.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to just see what they have to accomplish before they get their team together. And obviously part of it is just making sure that the offense is put in, that everybody is comfortable with it, that you're working with the quarterback. We talked a little bit earlier in the week about Tyson Bagent and the fact that that he's going into a potential, after this year, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. The coach doesn't know him yet. They've got to get to know each other. You'd love the idea of someday being able to, you know, keep drafting and creating and improving quarterbacks, but they got to get up and running with Caleb Williams before anything else.
Yeah, they've got to learn about all their players. And actually, Bajan will be restricted.
Restricted, I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this will be year three for him. So they've got to get a handle on all their players, and that's from the top of the depth chart.
Okay.
I'm going to try to clean up the line.
Yeah, we got to clean up the line.
Yeah, Tyson Bagent entering restricted free agency, earning $1 million this year, his third season. Being the backup, he is the backup. I don't think Case Keenum is there for any other reason but to provide insurance. But the question remains what the coaching staff, namely Ben Johnson, the new collection of quarterbacks coaches they have as well to evaluate him. What do they believe about Tyson Bagent? And Brad, that's the essential question. We just don't know yet.
No, we don't know. We're not going to know for a while. Like, they're going to go through the rest of the offseason program. They're going to get into OTAs here later on this month. At the end of the month, they'll have a mandatory mini camp in June. And then the evaluation process rolls into training camp. So, there's a lot to be determined in the roster. I promise you this, when the roster is set to begin the 2026 season, okay, it's going to look significant. You know, so you're talking, what, 16 months from now, something like that. It's going to look a heck of a lot different than it does right now. But it's a process. And as I said, it starts with guys that you consider to be at the top of the depth chart and are at the top of the depth chart, and it works all the way down. There's going to be players that, we're not talking a whole lot about that will factor in. There's been a lot of discussion about the safety position, and I think it's warranted. But a guy that's played an awful lot for three seasons, when he's been pressed into action, is Elijah Hicks, and he's still in the mix. So that tells you that the front office has probably got a greater deal of faith in him than maybe the public does. But he's a guy that the coaches need to see for themselves on the grass. They've spent time going over the film. Now they need to see how he looks in action.
I found it fascinating that there were two questions about the tackle position in your notes. You had one guy just wanting to know the difference between right and left tackle, which kind of amused me. And then there was a question about Ozzie Trapillo and how he's going to fit in and who's going to be the starting left tackle, right tackle. Are you surprised that people are now kind of hyper aware of it, or is it just because we've been talking about the fact that they're relying on a player and Braxton Jones coming off an injury?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's been a position that we've looked at since the outset of the offseason. Like, could they get a plug-and-play starter
right.
in the draft or via some other means, and you would expect Trapillo to be at left tackle this weekend and kind of get a feel for that and see how he looks, and then potentially it sets up for a competitive situation between him and Braxton Jones later on this summer. He made 12 starts at left tackle at Boston College early in his career before he was moved to right tackle, where he started 24 or 25 games. And, you know, sometimes it's not always the case, but sometimes colleges are giving you a pretty good tell when they play a guy at right tackle and not left tackle, that this guy, if he is going to continue his career professionally, and obviously Trapillo is, is probably a right tackle. That's not always the case, and every guy is moved to one side or the other by the college staff for varying reasons. So we'll have to see. They've got to put him there and see how it looks.
We talk so much about the Bears defense in terms of their nickel package because they're in that a majority of the time. And yet their base defense still does include three linebackers. That third linebacker spot, Brad, I think is something that remains kind of in a state of flux. They drafted Ruben Hippolyte. The draft pick that Mully was referring to was deemed by one ESPN analyst as the worst draft pick.
Eric Moody. Yeah, don't know Eric.
Hippolyte is 5'11", 236, not your prototypical inside or outside inside your NFL linebacker. What are the Bears' plans at that third strong side linebacker position?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's maybe one of the bigger questions that they've got right now. My first reaction is, you know, how much is that? How often are they going to be in their base defense? How many snaps are we talking about? If you're looking at last year with Jack Sanborn, you're maybe scratching the surface at like 25% of the time. So you're talking about a part-time player, okay, and it's possible that guy's not on the roster right now. And that's another spot where if you want to find a strong side linebacker, you can go out and get one of those guys. He's probably not going to be a difference maker, but you can find one of those. They've got a couple candidates on the roster. Hippolyte obviously deserves a look. They drafted him. They felt highly about him. Certainly, he can run. He can really scoot. Amen. Ogbonbamiga. It would be an option. Carl Jones, an undrafted free agent out of UCLA a year ago, and they've still got Noah Sewell kicking around, who has really struggled to stay healthy. Not only in season, but he's had stuff that's cost him, I think, developmental time during training camp and the offseason a little bit. But he's still in the picture as well.
I was kind of amused. We had a texter when we were talking about Hippolyte and that story who texted him, why don't they just move him to safety?
He could be the anti-linebacker. That's like it wouldn't be a Bears draft without people coming up with, fancy ways to, it worked out with Brian Urlacher. There were people that wanted Chris Zorch to play linebacker at one point, right?
Right.
So I don't see him moving to safety. But who knows? He's yet to get on the grass. That'll happen tomorrow in Lake Forest.
Brett, I don't think it's a high priority necessarily, but it has been addressed indirectly. Do you expect before the start of training camp, before the start of OTAs, that Joe Tooney will sign a contract extension?
I would think that's the goal for all the parties involved. Ryan Poles has said that's something that the organization would like to accomplish. But two sides have got to be happy with what's in front of them. He signed for this season at $16 million. He's 32 years old, and he's still playing at a high level. So the team's got to find out, you know, where its parameters are. And Joe's got to see if the team's vision kind of matches what he's seeking nearing the end of a decorated career. So I think that's not something I would be concerned about right now, something you kind of put in the back of your mind and try to keep an eye on. Ultimately, I think both parties would feel best if something were to be finalized before training camp, but I don't see any kind of soft deadline even for this negotiation.
Jalen Johnson was on a podcast over the weekend, and maybe we heard it on yesterday, but he said he's going to get 7 interceptions. That's his goal: 7 interceptions, 3 takeaways, fumbles, and he's, you know, planning on scoring a few touchdowns. Those numbers would put him obviously into a different category. Is it okay to have expectations like that or goals like that as long as you don't press to get that? Don't take chances. Play within the scheme. Did you have any reaction to it? And especially with Keyshawn Johnson saying, "Well, you can't catch." And the fact that the kid has what is the number he's got? 7 career interceptions.
7 career interceptions in 70 games. He's going to get 7 next year alone.
Yeah, that if he has 7 picks this season, you would think he's a strong candidate to be all pro. There are 2 players that had 7 or more picks last year: Kirby Joseph, the Lions safety, and Xavier McKinney, the Packers safety. So there's not a cornerback in the National Football League that reached 7 this past season. Yeah, you don't want to see a guy being a riverboat gambler out there in a bid to produce takeaway numbers like that. But at the same time, I love it when a guy puts his puts his goals out there. You know, a lot of times the guys will say, "Yeah, I got a goal," and hey, what are you thinking? Well, I'll keep that to myself. Typical response. It's not quite like Alonzo Spellman, who long ago,
I remember,
said his goal for sacks was high double digits. Like 80, yep. 80 to 85. I think he meant high teens. Shoot for the moon, right?
Oh, that was awesome.
Brad, I know it's not a major thing, but who's throwing passes to Luther Burden III this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to have some guy, and we'll see who it is and how they throw. A lot of times you see these noodle arm guys in rookie mini camp because they, I don't think there's a job available here. There's always competition, but the Bears probably weren't getting first pick of arms that were available, and it can't be windy up there in those practice fields behind Hollis Hall. So you've seen, it's not every year, and sometimes in recent years the Bears have had a lot of first round draft picks at the position, guys that can spin the football. But in years that they haven't had that guy, and you've been out on that field and it's been windy, you look at it, you're like, boy. I know I'm at a professional football rookie mini camp, but it sort of looks like a high school pass floating out there. So we will see who's throwing the ball to Luther Burden and Colston Loveland this weekend.
Good stuff, Brad.
Yeah. Hey, Bigsy, the schedule release is Wednesday, so we're going to be making picks and talking.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
And good luck with
that's going to be interesting. Have you guys solved this Ryan Presley issue yet?
No, still it's ongoing.
We're working on
it. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Have you solved the Caps being down 1-0 in that series yet?
No, but I think they'll bounce back at home.
Yeah,
tonight.
Oh, sure. Sure they will.
Presley can't
That's happening all the time in the NHL playoffs.
Presley, what did you say? Presley.
He's not missing any bats, guys. Like, it's.
Yeah, that's what Craig Council said.
Oh, he's not scoring any goals.
He is draining his knee, though, buddy. Take that into account.
Presley?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they got a guy with a bum knee. All right. Yeah.
All right. Great talking to you, Brad.
You're the best, buddy.
Good luck solving that one.
See you later.
That's our guy. That's our guy, Brad Biggs.